Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the October 4th meeting for the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, anyone joining by phone?
There is no phone tonight.
Okay, all right. Tony had emailed us prior indicating that he had a business conflict this evening. So do I have a motion for an excused absence?
So moved.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I think everybody's had the opportunity of reviewing this evening's agenda. Any issues, concerns?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. As far as the meeting minutes from last month, I did notice we had one typo. Beth's going to make the change, and that was the fact that Joe had actually called the meeting to order with my absence last month, so we'll make that adjustment. But other than that, any other changes?
I make a motion. We approve the minutes from the 9/6/23 meeting with the one editorial change as distributed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. So doesn't look like we've got public comments for this evening.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. So on to old business. Steve Zsponovich, with the text amendment application. Realized there was quite a bit of discussion at last month's meeting, in regards to that. And then Planning and Zoning Attorney has suggested.
If I could make a comment on that, I should have let you all know that what I presented was not intended as a final draft. I got focused on buildable area, and I kind of focused on that. So there may be other aspects to this that you or John want to discuss, but my intent was to give you some sort of a definition for the open and unavailable space.
Okay.
There may be other aspects that you want to talk about.
Okay, thank you. Steve, have you had the opportunity of reviewing the new language? Sure.
I did, thank you. And thanks again for allowing me to meet with you all again this month. I did have a chance to read it, as I guess not everyone here has. I guess my question is, how it pertains to what was talked about last month, because it appears that there are, well, it just appears a bit different, and I think maybe some clarification, at least from my standpoint, would be helpful, because what I'm reading and what we wrote last time, I'm not sure how they meet the middle, and
okay.
So it would be interesting to hear your thoughts on that.
Is there anything in particular that you're concerned with that has either been admitted or changed in a way that you're concerned about?
No, I think that some of the wording in terms of the, I was trying to think through the examples we used last month and of the floodplains and the wet areas near buildable logs in Curie Beach, and I was trying to reflect on where those were, and I'm not sure where those are. I'm assuming in this that it addresses everything we talked about last month, but I'm just not sure. So I guess I have more questions than I have answers to those.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can just raise an issue. I think this addresses our discussion about the elevator, but if I remember right, your proposal had a hallway going down towards the elevator. And so I think that, you know, that this would not, the hallway would not fall under this particular statement. I mean, the elevator would, but not the hallway.
And so to your point from last meeting, Mr. Galbraith, I've gone back to our architect. He's redrawn all the plans, and we're going to accommodate eliminating that hallway. We're going to reconfigure a whole down first floor to make make accommodations to your point. So we would be deleting that hallway.
Okay, but the elevator still would not extend more than 24 inches, right?
That's right.
Okay.
John, do you have any kind of comment on this at this point?
I felt like it was a good first jab at it. I think there's some room for improvement. We're seriously interested in making this a part of our ordinance, primarily in the definition of, you know, what would be considered as open and unbuildable space. And the last sentence of that paragraph, I'm not real sure what that means.
Which one is that, John?
The last sentence.
Well, let me comment on that last sentence. When this application first came in, essentially it looked for 2 feet into a 5-yard setback, so long as there was open and unbuildable space next door or adjacent. That term was not defined at all, and it was completely overbroad and subject to subjective interpretations, and therefore could lead to arbitrary and capricious decisions or decisions that weren't consistent of each other. In other words, you need a definition. What I did was look at, I found a couple of good definitions for buildable area, and I simply reversed them. And if you take the case, you don't want to include setbacks into an open and unbuildable area because that's just not what you have to do. But if you've got some easement, for example, let's use Matsu, and I'm just making this up. Let's say the property owner butts up against on the side yard Matsu. Now you look out your window, yeah, that's unbuildable land. Let's go one step further and say Matsu's got we have a drainage easement in there, right on the other side of the property line. So you look at that and you think, okay, Matsu's unbuildable, it's open, but then again you've got that drainage easement there, which could help you in terms of saying it's unbuildable, but with respect to that last sentence, if an easement is included in the definition of an unbuildable area, not all easements would qualify. Again, using the Matsu drainage ditch, you would look at this definition and say, okay, I got an easement on the other side that's open and unbuildable, look at all that property. So there has to be some discretionary authority, I think, to say, no, in this particular case, that easement is not considered unbuildable. That's a drainage easement, that's Matsu, and we can't touch Matsu. So that's all I was trying to do.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter to me what you do with this draft. It's just really a starting point for discussion.
Okay.
I'd like to kind of throw one other thing, too, out there, and this is kind of a general thing that we talked about last time, is this proposed text amendment deals with elevators. But right above it, we talk about generators, HVAC units, propane tanks. I mean, if we're going to extend this opportunity to elevators, why not to HVACs and propane tanks and everything like that also? You know, I think that's something we ought to consider.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Well, and then you bump into my main problem, which is I don't like the idea of messing with setbacks at all. There's a reason that they were stated that way originally, and we've, at least through the history that I'm aware of, we've tried to adhere to the setbacks and what can be done with them.
And is your concern mainly around fire protection?
That and just the fact that I think that there was a valid reason for a setback to begin with, whether it was for safety or for space between houses so you're not looking in each other's window or for whatever reason, but since I've been here in the 90s, and it's always seems to have been stressed to me, at least that's the way I took it, that setbacks were basically sacrosanct. Mm-hmm. And you didn't mess with them unless you really had to.
And then, Jim, do you find the, in your understanding of other communities, do you feel that, as Member Dugan has described, that it's been pretty hard and fast, or do you see discrepancy, or do you see variability?
To be honest, Chair, I haven't looked very much at other jurisdictions with regards to setbacks, but I will say that setbacks are sacrosanct. They're in every zoning ordinance I've ever looked at. They're there for first responders, of course. They're also there for open air and space and line of sight sometimes. So it's SOP for the zoning regulations to address setbacks. I've never seen a variation on that. But I honestly have not paid much attention to what exceptions any particular jurisdiction carves out of that.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I could comment on that. I know we've certainly, you know, I think I've been involved with the Planning Commission now since the 90s also. And we have talked about setbacks a lot. And at various times, and typically our discussion of setbacks is where a property owner comes in with a particular issue, and then we kind of talk about the setbacks for that particular issue. And I know that, you know, I have looked extensively at what other towns have done in certain type of situations. And there is some variability in the towns under very certain circumstances. You know, for example, I think that Myrtle Beach has it where, you know, if something very similar, if you're on a corner lot and there's something not buildable next to it, then they'll modify a little bit and stuff like that. So I do think there is a little bit of variability. My concern is also with Mr. Dugan is that we've been very strict about setbacks. So I think we ought to be very careful that if we're going to start to deviate from that, it's for very, very careful situations. And that's why I raised the issue of generators and HVACs and propane tanks. That are we going to add that to it too? Because then we start to expand that definition, or are we going to keep it very narrowly defined to just elevators?
Well, one technical point on that, you have an application for the elevator, so that's a separate order of business that you have to deal with. I wouldn't wrap HVACs into that particular item. You can come back and do HVACs next time or instruct staff to do something about it, but I do think it's wise to keep the application separate from any other side of that consideration, you project task assignment that you want to get into.
But I do think you bring a good point, though, in that it does open us up at that point if somebody were to make that kind of request to then use this precedent.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, while I completely agree with setbacks, for safety and for view and so forth, I completely understand that. But as our town has grown, so has other opportunities and other situations have grown. And so it's not like it was in the 90s when I first came here myself. I remember standing on the porch and watching eight houses being built. I completely understand it, but certainly our community's changed. And and I think there is precedent in getting into setbacks. Now, I think it needs to be looked at very carefully, as you all have, particularly for the reasons that you were talking about, from particularly safety, fire trucks, and line of sight, and that type of thing. There's no doubt. I know in our neighborhood, we have two situations where they already built their elevators in the past, and they're in our neighborhood, and we all know what size our lots are. So I'm not saying that gives us a pass by any stretch, but I know there has been some precedent set, and I know that there are other opportunities in our community, that this is, it's not just looking at this Fondage property, but at the other 30-some properties. And maybe all 30 of those didn't count, maybe 28 of them, but there are other opportunities that this possibly could be a great question.
I guess I just have a question for the attorney. Rather than spending a lot of time and going back and rewriting, and what's the procedure for taking kind of a straw vote to see if it?
I guess you could determine if there's a consensus, but I think the obvious thing is to ask John what else he thinks needs to be done. He suggested some tweaks, and maybe that would guide the commission towards a logical conclusion.
Yeah, good point.
So I just think that if we were to move forward with this ordinance, I think we need to expand upon the definition of an open and buildable space, and some additional ideas would be for to remove some of the language that Jim put in there, but to definitely add language such as publicly owned property, including HOA common areas, that will not change. And then there's another blurb about a non-disturbance area. I don't know what that is. We'd have to put some definitions on some of these.
I don't know what it is either.
I'm just saying, if we want to move forward with this, I believe that that definition needs to be enhanced.
Yeah. I'm just a little concerned that we would ask people to move forward and come up with language if it looks like a straw vote is that we're not inclined to do this in general, or if we are, then to go forward with tweaking the language. Because I think we're at the tweaking level right now, more than anything.
I would ask, when you dealt with your builder and also you, John, when you looked at the house, is there any other possible location in the structure to put an elevator in that won't be in a setback?
We've had short of just tearing the house down and starting again.
No.
I don't want to do that. I've had the architect there. He's physically walked it, studied it, and he said, well, you could put it here. It's going to come right in the middle of our living room and into our bedroom. Into the bed, not in the wall, not but set in the center. He said, you know, there's just...
Yeah.
Short of this, there's really no way, from what he's telling me. I'm not an architect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's John Sawyer, who's a pretty well-known architect here in the Wilmington area. And had he not suggested that I have this survey done, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. Because your plot plan shows I had 9 feet. So I have 4 foot for my elevator and 5 foot... setback, and we'd probably be riding up and down our elevator. But he suggested a survey. We had the survey done, and that's what it appeared. And then it's like, oh my gosh, what's this all about?
And I'm not against elevators.
Sure.
We are an aging community, and probably more than half of our structures are elevated. And people are going to get tired of carrying groceries upstairs. Or not be able to.
And Steve, is the with this land being HOA land next door, I mean, has there been any discussion about you being able to take some small piece of that to be able to?
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Sure. We mentioned that in the last meeting, Mr. Ashbridge, and what we came up with prior to this meeting was. We had that conversation. I went to the board and said, this is what we'd like to do. And they said, the HOA president and the board said, yeah, I don't see a problem with this at all. Actually, Ms. Merkel, being all transparent, she's on that board. And I have a letter from the board saying they're all in favor of doing this project. However, when I went in, I told Julie, I said, president says we can just buy this piece of property and it'll be all done. But I said, I don't believe that's going to happen. I said, because I don't think the board has the authority to sell homeowners' land, HOA property. We have an attorney who was our prior president, or one of our previous presidents, who then saw it and goes, oh no, we don't have the authority to do this. You have to take a vote and be a supermajority?
Two-thirds
majority. Of the 135 homeowners.
That's in the declaration?
Yes. We're just kind of given the authority to dispose of HOA assets in our
I've seen it in different... I've seen different ways that's handled in different declarations. Each walk they had to get a two-thirds majority, but Porter's Point way up in the northern part of the county, that HOA declaration had the authority. certain circumstances of not getting membership in the door.
I have a question. How did someone we know what the process was, but recently Beach Walk conveyed their lots that were what we call the Sandman lots over to the town.
One lot.
Oh, is it just one lot? But they didn't take it to their whole HOA for approval. At least that was my understanding. And
the
I'm not sure.
That's what I'm trying to
and
say.
And I'm not sure how they conveyed it. They didn't
the
sell it, they conveyed it.
Beach Walk, well, there was consideration. I don't know if you want to say it was money or not. But the point is, Beach Walk's declaration allows the board to convey title if, I forget the majority, I think it's two-thirds majority consents in writing. If you go look at the reported deed, you'll see 65 pages of consents. Mm-hmm. And that's in the declaration. And again, a different declaration I've dealt with. The board didn't have to do that under certain circumstances. It could convey title outright. That's why I asked. Is your hang up with this HOA the fact that the declaration requires a majority?
It's actually silent, I think, and that's why I think they concluded we didn't have the authority. It doesn't say that we have the authority to.
It sounds to me somebody needs to look, legally needs to look at that declaration, because if it's silent, then that requirement, I don't see how that exists.
I mean, what's your understanding? I read through the
I was going by what Michael, who's an attorney,
Michael Davenport looked at it.
I know.
He's the one that reviewed it and shared his information with us. So that's where I'm getting this information.
Do you have a copy of the declaration with you, by any chance?
The covenants? They're actually they're not protected. If you go to Curry Dunes, if you go to Curry Dunes HOA under our documents, you can look at. It's not under our bylaws. It's under our covenants.
Right.
Or maybe
that's
the bylaws should say what we're authorized to do, so it might be in.
What was it up there?
The Curry Dunes HOA, you bring it up.
Yeah.
And then I think it's under documents, or maybe owners, and then it has bylaws and covenants.
HOA dues, fees, and covenants?
Yeah, bylaws, and then probably under. Oh, hold on, realtors.
What phase are we talking about? We've got the page. What lots are we talking about?
You're in phase. Not phase one.
Do you know what page you're in?
But if it falls under the bylaws, I think the bylaws.
It doesn't fall under the bylaws. It's in one of the declarations. Just trying to determine which declaration we need to look at.
We're in phase four, lot seven.
Phase four, okay. Hang on.
You're pretty much the same.
Let's see, it's not a lot of school.
Curry Beach Village is 70% vote.
I'm not saying I'm going to find it, because this is not an ideal review.
Oh, I apologize. Taking your time to look at it at this point. I thought this would maybe this is something I should have done last month. but I was told by, I thought, pretty dependable folks that.
And you might be right, but that was the way to go. The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Rather than rely on somebody's representation, you want to find the black and white language about it.
While council's looking through that, assuming it was two-thirds, are you feeling that you would not be able to get that?
I mean, what's the odds of getting 90 votes from people that don't even know you?
But they're bringing money into the association that they wouldn't.
It was the thought of the board. Well, I said board. It was Jim Lucky and John, the president of the association, and I were talking. I said, "What do you think are the odds of this happening?" And they said, "Probably not very good." And only because they don't. That's a lot of moving parts for something that most people wouldn't understand without having all the education that you all already have, is what I think was the thought they had.
Yeah, and, it'd be tough in the village.
Talk about free money, just get on the loop.
People don't know anything about it, and so if
and people
are going to
knee-jerk around the idea of not giving up open space. I mean, essentially, yes.
Mr. Ellinger, I think also what they looked at was the bylaws, which says, you know, what the board is authorized to do. And I don't think they found it anywhere.
Well, by statute, an HOA is authorized to convey title. I'll look at the bylaws at that time. You might be right. It'd be an unusual place to find it.
See, I don't like that necessarily. We've got something for us that affects the whole town. You know, this is his particular issue. You have something before that affects the whole town.
Yeah.
That's what we have to address.
Yeah,
this is his particular issue.
Not part of the pool.
But, you know, I mean, we may have other ones.
Do
we
have access here?
I don't have a big problem with this. I do have a problem if you start putting in HVAC and things like that.
Which we don't need to do.
Right.
But we just have to be able to defend ourselves later. And to why is that something?
Because, you know, I mean, something is put, an element is part of the building, but this other stuff are add-ons.
Yeah, they're external pieces.
They're external pieces, yeah. So just from a pure aesthetic.
Yeah.
I would say that would be my argument.
Yeah, I'm open to this too, but I would like certain conditions. I mean, I want to make sure it's HOA or town property that still allows for free fire access.
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know, expanded space.
Nor the bylaws. There's really, it's silent about it.
And whether or not that needs to be solidified in writing by those adjacent property owners, that they would never do anything else.
The only problem, I mean, what they're talking about here is it's non-buildable, so there really isn't a property owner other than the city, maybe the HOA. I mean, I'm trying to think of any unbuildable situations that would be actually owned by an individual.
Based on my, and I hope the record reflects this cursory review, the applicable declaration just doesn't address it one way or another. Doesn't even define common areas.
No.
So look, rather than a straw vote, you've got an application on the table. Vote it up or vote it down, or you can remand it to staff for additional tweaks and bring it back another month. But if you bring it back another month, I would recommend strongly action on it at that time because it's been 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Well, we know it in a minimum that's necessary just because of the different language that needs to be incorporated into it.
Well, it depends on what those changes are. If they're minimal, no, you don't have to remand it. You could tweak it orally through a motion, but I agree with you. The changes that you might be contemplating would be a little bit more involved than that.
Right.
Well, I haven't said anything all night.
Yep.
I, as Jim, feel that the setbacks should be held sacred because that's an access way that's required. However, with this application, we're talking about unbuildable space. So my feeling is if we add some type of wording in there where access is continuous, there would be no obstruction to the intent of the setback. which would be a safety access, whether it be for emergency teams or fire, for whatever it is.
How would you, technically, how would you, I'm curious how you would word that, but secondly, how would you enforce that requirement? Because the land that you would want the access on was not ours.
Well, the use of the property now that abuts his property is part of the pool, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And if we were to get an easement or something from the HOA, that there won't be anything, because the HOA could vote next year that they're going to tear down the pool and build more houses there. But if we get an easement to equal the space that's being taken up by the elevator,
does that present the same
amount of area?
Does that create the same problem for you all in trying to get an easement as you would a conveyance?
And that I don't know. The homeowners thought this was our property all along.
Yeah.
Okay, so until the survey ever came about, no one, you know, there was no, John couldn't speak, he came and looked at the property before we ever did, had these conversations last year. And I said, John, where would you put this? And he said, oh, right here, fit perfect. Looks like you have plenty of space, because we had it landscaped, so it looked like we had plenty of space. But we didn't know it was our property.
We didn't look at the possibility of the HOA giving you an easement, did we? And I don't know whether that would require.
Well, we talked about selling. They talked about selling.
But an easement is different. There's no. We're not.
Where would that easement begin? Because you still got the 5-yard setback.
I would think maybe from the edge of the outer edge of the elevator.
But you still would need, to get to that easement, you're still encroaching in the side yard, so you still need permission to encroach.
Well, we'd probably go from where the fence line is currently, because the fence line goes, it's a straight line, and that's where the assumed property lines were. So I don't think that would be much of an issue in terms of that easement, because it would.
But don't you have to cross over the setback to get to that line?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that changes the issue for us.
Yeah, having an easement wouldn't help you in this matter without some language in our ordinance to the seller. Acknowledge that.
Yeah. And this.
I'm looking at the declarations right now. I mean, it doesn't say anything about having to have a vote to sell it. It says the. I'll read. The corporation to acquire by gift, purchase, otherwise own, hold, improve, build upon, operate, maintain, convey, sell, lease, transfer, dedicate to public use, or otherwise dispose of real or personal property in connection with affairs of the corporation.
Is that the statute?
This is in the declarations of incorporation. Articles of incorporation for periods. It goes on to say that they can dedicate, sell, or transfer all or any part of a common area to any public agency, authority, or utility for such purposes and subject to such conditions as may be agreed to by the members. I skimmed all of this. I don't see anywhere that it says you have to have a majority.
It's more for a utility, right? It says that.
But there's two different sections there that hit on both selling and dedicating. So.
And John, that's around board power?
That's what it looks like. I just skimmed through the document. I don't see anywhere in here that it says you have to have a...
Wasn't your last word membership?
Yeah.
Members.
That would possibly entail a vote.
Which is the homeowners, right?
That's how I interpreted that.
Would it be fair for you if I asked for this to be postponed until next month, until I find out and get better, because I thought we were crystal clear on this issue with our board, that I get crystal clear information, because I feel like a real schmuck standing here right now, taking your time up over something maybe that I got some bad information that I bet my life on at that point.
Because at least the way I feel with the, I'm strong on easements, but that's a vacant lot there that probably is going to stay vacant for a pretty long time, unless there's...
You're strong on easements or setbacks? You said
easements. Setbacks, excuse me. Well, if it's a good easement.
Unless there's some legal document to keep it vacant.
Or at least a piece of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. It may not be easement, it might be some other type of way, but that's what you're focused on, it's just protecting that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't appear you're prepared to tweak the language tonight, particularly with what we just brought up against our homeowners association.
Yeah, I think what you're hearing is we want to help, but we don't want to open up a can of worms.
Absolutely.
And if there's another way that we could avoid having to make this change, we prefer that. If we need to think more about how to make this work, you know, I think we're open to that as well, at least to some point.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be a lot more conditions, and those conditions could cause you issues.
That's all right.
Well, if I can kind of jump in, you know, even if you can have an easement conveyed or whatever you want to do that, we would still have to have a text amendment, you know, to deal with that particular issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just that we'd have to include easement or some sort of a guarantee within that particular text amendment. So, you know, even though you might spend some time with the HOA talking about an easement, we still need to address the issue of this, you know, whether you're going to have, you know, if you can have an easement or there's some guarantee to the city that that will stay non-buildable, you know, then we need to get that language proper, you know, say by next month.
Well, I want to make sure you understand that if the HOA conveying any property or interest to you stops, whatever they're conveying stops at your property line. You understand that, right? And to get to it, you still have to encroach into the side setback. So the issue that we're here about is never going to change. You've got to resolve that issue.
So the plot plan that the town had on file shows this is the empty lot over here. This says 9 feet.
If the HOA gives you something up to that line to utilize that, whatever you get to utilize that space, you still got to come in here, and this doesn't control what the setback is. The zoning regulations in the survey do. You got a 5-foot setback. Whatever the HOA does, let's say that's your property line, whatever the HOA does on this side doesn't change the fact that you've got to get into the setback for your elevator.
My question is, and what I'm not clear on is, If here's the wall of my house and this is my property line, there's 9 feet between the two, my elevator's 4 feet wide, why would I come back here? If I have 4 feet to build the elevator and there's 5 more feet to my property line, that would be the 5 foot setback.
Well, the conveyance doesn't change your property line.
9 feet there?
That's where this whole thing started.
I know, but what does your survey show you?
I have 9 feet here, and I have 7.9 right here. That's the front of the house.
So why are we talking about a text amendment to allow encroachment into the side setback? Because of the lower end of that?
Yes, sir.
In other words, we'll call 9 feet on the north end, and what, 7.5 did you say?
Mm-hmm.
On the south end. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for the authority to encroach on the south end. Got enough space on the north end.
Because that's where these windows were lined up and the hallways were lined up and the staircase were lined up to put this future elevator in. So that's where the confusion is. So if they would convey to me enough to make this an even 9 feet, all the way down the side of my house to the street. My point is we wouldn't have a conversation Is that?
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
If the conveyance is a property, I mean, we were talking a couple of things. One is an easement, which wouldn't be a conveyance of property. It'd be a conveyance to the town for an easement that would then ensure that that would be a non-buildable area next to it. But then you're talking about a conveyance of property where that would expend your property line. Those are kind of two different issues, I think.
Right. I'm talking about conveyance of property.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, I mean, if you could do that, yeah. then it's a moot point
yeah,
for
then,
us.
Then he would withdraw the request.
Right, right. Have a right. conversation. Mm-hmm.
Right, because it loses the setback.
That's yep. right. I don't know, but if they'll sell us that property, which they originally said they would, mm-hmm. but then it came back and we had to have the two-thirds vote. That's when it was thought that that wouldn't probably work. I spoke with John. We talked variance. John said, I don't think this is a deal for variance. I think we ought to look at the text amendment. And that's what started these conversations.
Yeah.
So,
what's your urgency here?
Have you met Julie, my wife?
No.
like yesterday, but obviously we've talked to the builder. He's ready to go. But I said, look, we have to get all this taken care of before we can, mm-hmm. Do anything. So he knows that. So it's not tomorrow, obviously, but we're ready when this is all taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you obviously now have your work to be done. My concern is, do we put more time and effort into trying to get the text amendment right when there's another path?
No, not until I do my due diligence with them, because I thought I had, and again, I sincerely apologize to each one of you all, because I feel like I've wasted a lot of your time over this without the knowledge that I had.
We do have another lawyer, not on the board, but we could probably ask him for, to take a look through it with fresh eyes. Someone that hasn't been looking at our covenants and bylaws for years and years. Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind hiring an attorney to look at it. I was wrong in assuming that our neighbor, who was an attorney, who was the president of the board since almost since the inception.
It's the way he interprets it.
Yeah, it seems like you got gray area. So I mean, at the end of the day, he may be right. But yeah, I think if everybody's good with this, we're going to table this completely.
You need a motion.
And yeah, I'm kind of talking to Steve at the moment just to make sure that you understand kind of what we're doing here. Waiting for you to then do your work. You report back to us next month where you are, and then we figure out next steps.
Is it completely possible if I were to get back with John, say in 2 weeks, for me to do my due diligence for us to get on your November meeting schedule?
We wouldn't want to table it then. Just
I would say the quicker you can get that information
we just
to
leave
us,
it as part
just
of
leave it
the
as
more
as
we can study it prior to the next meeting.
I'll certainly get on tomorrow.
But we'll leave it as a continuation item on old business.
Okay.
And that at least. That would be what I would think we would want to do from a motion standpoint.
And the only thing I would suggest is that John or is think about language that would provide a guarantee that it stays open. I mean, that's really a concern that we had, is that the way that it's written right now, there's not a guarantee that it would stay unbuildable.
Well, again, he's going the conveyance.
Right. Well, if that doesn't work, I mean, but in 2 weeks, he's going to find out whether that's going to work or not. So if it doesn't work, then we're back exactly in the same situation next month.
Right.
And so my inclination is that, at least to think about, even though we're going to continue this, is to think about the language that would allow us to have the security that would stay unbuildable.
I don't know how you would accomplish that. Because one of the things you'd be doing is binding future boards, and generally speaking, I can't think of what instrument you would use to.
Well, you could convey an easement to the town.
Craig, I have a question. What happens in the situation when I looked at a lot of the pictures that he had? A lot of this unbuildable was really owned by the town, because they were really, they were either an access to the beach or they were, in parking lot. So would the town be able to guarantee that, okay, we agree, it's unbuildable now, and yes, you can go ahead and put your elevator in, because that's the situation. Town would have to say, that parking lot, that easement, it's always going to be there. I don't know, would the town do that?
Whether they do or not, that would be a case-by-case basis.
Right.
If anybody ever requested this again.
And that's kind of what this tax amendment mm-hmm. was, including those. So to Ms. Merkel's point was that it covered those homes on both sides of the publicly owned property to allow them to go into the two feet into that setback to build a potential an elevator on that home. So there's been a continuance, as I understand.
Well, I'm going to hopefully entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we table this for...
Or continue it.
Continue this for a week, or next till the next meeting, in order for the person to get additional information from his HOA.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And I'll be in touch with John, certainly within 2 weeks. If
okay.
If you send him 2 weeks, I can assure you of that. And see you have an update. We'll know when it's involved, when it's available to find this language, or if we can buy that property.
And if there's anything that you think that in between this time that the town can help out with, or that you need some information, please don't hesitate.
Who would I call about that?
Staff. Okay. Start with John. John be able to put it in the right place.
And again, I apologize sincerely for taking your time tonight in the last month on something that I thought we had solid bone information.
It still may be solid. I, you know,
yeah,
people
exactly.
Interpret
yeah.
it correctly.
So, well, thank you all a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, on to the next item, the consideration and action on proposed text amendment to 15.36.260.
Yes, sir. Commissioners, you'll notice that we made the changes to the language that we talked about in the last meeting. There was a lot of discussion and concern about restricting batteries to a certain height when the manufacturer may require a certain height. And so we added that language to read that batteries are not to be mounted any higher than the manufacturer's installation directions for minimum distance from the ground. And so this text amendment is before you for approval, along with the consistency of statement.
And it does say, shall not project it to the required setback.
Yep.
Which is good.
I think it looks good.
Any other comment?
No.
I'll make a motion to adopt the proposed text to 15.30.
Let's revise that motion. You know that it goes on the council.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to recommend to council to adopt the proposed text to 15.36.260.
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
I also have to make a motion for the consistency statement, too. Okay. Now, are we adopting this or recommending adoption for consistency? Okay, so I'll make a motion to adopt the zoning consistency statement that the proposed text amendment is consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the town of Kerry Beach.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
You're not going to read it?
The consistency statement?
The whole thing.
The next one? On to our third old business item, consideration and action on proposed text amendments to the SIC codes, and that is Attorney Eldridge.
I think that's mostly along Joe. I'll just add my 5 cents, and Joe can add his. two parts to this. One is, the basic part was to provide the text amendments. It's in front of you. I don't remember exactly where it goes without looking at it, but the thrust of the text amendments I prepared was to make the use of SIC code references for illustrative purposes only. We also added some definitions for adult establishments, and we also cleared the text, the SIC codes from the prohibited uses. Beyond that, it's Joe's show, and I just want to say Joe did a lot of work. Mind-boggling to have read all those numbers and to create all that red ink. I've been there, I've done that, so hats off to Joe for doing that work. Joe, you might want to say a few things about the SIC code.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I do want to flip through this quickly. And a lot of it is just editorial, where a number was taken out or put in or fixed, but there are a few things I'd like to mention. So if we go through it real quick, I'll use the page numbers in the agenda. So page 12 of 42, you see there's four of the definitions on adult stuff that Jim had added. And other than that, for example, look at agriculture, where I cross out the number 8811. That's because 8811, when you go to the actual SIP code, has nothing to do with agriculture. When you look up agriculture, there are about 200 or 250 branches that could be used. So I just decided to take the SIP code out on that. But it's things like that. Apartment, I put it in. Boarding house, I put it in. The whole next page, 13, is just, you know, fixing numbers. And I also, you'll see down, like retail building materials, I scratched out the word only, because when you go to the actual SIC codes, there are a lot. It's a 750-page document. So by putting the word only in there and limiting garden supplies and industry group to certain numbers, there are more little minor things that somebody could come along in the future and say, hey, I'm looking at number 1826, and I want to do that. But this says only. So that's why I struck the word only. All right, going along to page 14. Again, the video gaming machines was added by Jim. Page 15, you'll see item D. That is the standard wording where it says the SIC code references in this chapter are for illustrative purposes only. In the event of a conflict between the text and the codes, the chapter's text shall control. Okay, so if there ever comes a conflict in wording with the SIC code and what we're wanting, our words control. All right, uses which are prohibited, as mentioned by Jim, the adult stuff was changed here, internet gaming was just renamed. All right, under 1510.20, crossed out and special uses. Now, we just did permitted uses in the last text amendment, but unfortunately, we left in this word in special uses. There are no special uses in the RA1 area, so I struck it out. Also on page 16, single, we changed to one. We missed that in a few spaces, but I caught it on this change. Going forward, same type of changes. Page 17, nothing new. Page 18, nothing new. Page 19, same things. Page 20. Item M on page 20, you'll see that the last five items are crossed out there, the last five SIC codes. They're really in there, but they're put in numerical order now. So I did things like that too. And you see it as a red change just because I renumbered the numbers. It has to show up as red. Item 21, page 21, item D right in the middle of the page, there are four SIC codes taken off of the miscellaneous retail. That's because those four are not included in the definition of miscellaneous retail. So I took them off of the permitted use page. one and two. Okay, now page 22. This is where the appendix starts, where it lists and explains all the SIC codes. The wording in here is right out of the code. And you'll see the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items are all deleted. Cookies and crackers, apparel belts. That's because there's no reference to any of these codes in the definitions, and there's no reference in the body of the procedure. So I took them out of the appendix. No need to have them in the appendix if we're not even dealing with them. Page 24, same thing, there's a few there. Motor vehicles goes away. Hotels and motels is crossed out, but right below it, it's rewritten to the exact language in the SIC code with the exact bullets as appear in the code. Same thing with 7021, it's crossed out and rewritten right below it. On page 26 now, I added the equipment rental and leasing, which was talked about in the body of our procedure, but it wasn't in the appendix. Page 27, 8011 is crossed out and it's rewritten right below it with the exact wording. But a lot of these, it was easier just to cross the whole thing out and rewrite it rather than try to reword it, because you'd have every other word lined out with indents throughout it. So it just seemed simpler to me, easier to read it this way. All right, there were some codes that were not in the appendix that we talked about, like clinics and health practitioners, legal services, schools, libraries, schools and educational services. All these things we talked about when we went through the permitted uses, if you remember. So I have added them to the SIC codes. Page 30 has museums, same thing. They were talked about in our permitted uses. Religious organizations crossed out and rewritten right below it. So that's it for Appendix A. Now Appendix B is just an alphabetical listing and then a numerical listing of all the SIC codes that we just went through. So things were put in alphabetical order, numbers were put in numerical order, wording was changed to be exact with what the code is, and that's the only changes throughout this whole Appendix B, to make it agree with Appendix A. And now when you look at the numerical, you look at the alphabetical, and you compare that with Appendix A, and you compare that with the body, everything agrees. And that's what I did.
Wow.
But what have you done later?
Well, 1 through 4?
On a different subject, so, yeah. I sent 1 through 4 to Jim already. So, yeah.
Yeah. Incredible work, Joe.
Thank you.
And hopefully...
are there any questions?
Yeah, well, hopefully you won't mind at council. As I'm giving my update and we get into this one, I'm going to ask you to come up, if you would.
That would be great.
One for recognition, but also just to make sure that any questions can get addressed directly.
Now, this is on the agenda for review and report and a consistency statement, so you can go forward and then make right. motions
yep.
for those, and council will set a public hearing date for this and the matters during
yep.
their
yeah. So any discussion?
Well, I'm going to raise an issue, not to change the vote on this, because I'm all for this, but it's simply something that I've been involved in other communities that have come up in this type of thing, and that's where almost every business, or there are many businesses that are multi-use. For example, I've got to testify in court tomorrow on a business, and this person has a tire store, but decided to put a fruit and juice bar in it. So you got a tire store and fruit and juice bar. So when you have a situation where perhaps one of those uses is prohibited and the other one's allowed, one of the difficulties is trying to decide what you want to keep out of that particular. And now, obviously, it usually comes up in the case of adult bookstores. You know, so when you look at our definition of adult bookstore, shall mean an establishment having a substantial and significant portion of stock, and then, you know, continue on. So what happens if you have a convenience store that has one rack of adult pictures and books on it? I mean, that's always been a problem, and it's just something that I don't think we've addressed here. Hopefully it's not going to come up, but I just wanted to raise that particular issue when you have multi-use type of situations. You know, because someone's going to find, we can't leave ourselves open. The reason I mention that is because we did have in another city I was involved with exactly that particular situation where you had a bookstore and we prohibited adult type of things. And he argued he was a regular bookstore. He just happened to have a shelf that was adult. Right. And therefore the primary use was in fact books and not adult. So I just want to raise the issue because that is that the council might bring up that particular issue.
But there's nothing you see to be changed here?
I wouldn't suggest changing anything. I just want to, maybe think about somewhere down the road of putting some statement in here that defines primary use, mm-hmm. secondary uses, or I'm not sure exactly how to do that, but to kind of address the issue where you have a multiple use type of situation where somebody's trying to sneak in something that we actually want to prohibit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's something we need to look at then.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting any changes right now.
We can put it in later, yeah. And okay. We will tell council that if they should bring it up.
Right.
So, Beth, you just note that?
If council should bring that up.
Should council bring it up?
All right, so do I have a motion for adoption of... Or recommendation, I'm sorry, recommendation to council.
I'll make a motion to recommend adoption of the proposed text amendments to Chapter 15 as presented.
Your motion is recommendation to council to adopt those?
Yes, recommendation to council to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And then we have a consistency statement too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, then I will... make the motion to adopt the consistency statement that states that it is consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the town of Kerry Beach.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Yeah, excellent. That was a lot of work. That's a tremendous amount of work.
Absolutely. All righty. We have one new business item, and with Tony's absence as well as Mandy's absence, we're probably going to want to bring this on to next month, but just to tee it up, I think as everyone's aware, council basically uses iPad for all of their work, doesn't require paper, so forth, access to information, things of that nature, and given the importance of our commission, the thought was for us to move in that same direction. And so if we have any discussion for this evening, if anybody's vehemently opposed or whatever, certainly bring it up. But like I said, we'll want to make sure that others that should be involved in the conversation have that opportunity next month.
Would that be a requirement for all of us to go to that, or would it be an option?
I think it would be, in my thinking at least, and again, certainly not in making this a motion, but... would be that we would all go to that form. That doesn't preclude
so we wouldn't
you from
have
printing
this.
Off material, mm-hmm. right? But yes, we would be
electronic.
We would be looking at this electronically as opposed to paper.
Yeah. So then we do need the input from Tony.
Need the input from Tony. Tony apparently already has a town
he
iPad.
Has an issued town iPad.
Yep. But. Obviously, has not been using it, at least from what we could see visibly at meetings, so not sure what his perspective is on it. In the event that we needed iPads, it would become a budgetary item. So, again, that's partly why Mandy would need to be involved in this discussion. There is the opportunity to have the software put on a personal iPad, and Beth's going to work with me, actually, to do that on mine.
Yeah, we'll work on that next week, for sure.
Yep. So there's some options where we don't necessarily all have to have new hardware. But at the end of the day, again, it's just trying to get to the point where we're not wasting so much paper. And apparently from a resource standpoint, and Dennis, you may be able to speak to this better than I, it gives you access to information quickly so that when things come up. Yeah, when things come up.
Does it have to be on an iPad? I mean, I've got iPads, but I tend to use laptop computers. Yeah, I mean, I just feel more comfortable with laptops. Like, we can put that information on a laptop, too? Or does it have to be an Apple?
If you're using a laptop, it's going to look how it looks on the TV screen right here. You would just use the links that I sent you. The software only works on iPads.
Oh, okay.
What is the agenda?
As long as we got Netflix.
Okay, so that's going to be continued?
Yes, that'll be a carryover item.
We can bring in our own iPad and have the software installed then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like an app, but I create you an account.
Oh, okay.
So it's simple to use, it's very user friendly. Most of the time.
Exactly, that's the way I look at it as well.
Three iPads.
Yeah, I don't need another one, that's for sure.
But I think there are a couple of apps that are useful. So if you don't have an iPad, maybe the town can provide one.
Definitely.
If you have an iPad, it's just a matter of downloading that app and using it. Especially the agenda notes.
Yeah.
Time trees.
All right, so any more comment on that?
No.
All right, well, I think that comes to brings us to the conclusion of the agenda.
Anybody have anything else?
No. Can we adjourn?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, that was very good. I think that was the thinnest on our agenda.